This is episode 6 of our series on restfully preparing for primary school. In today's episode, we'll address the lateral arms of the cross, which is where community comes in. Stay tuned. Previously, we shared the importance of establishing our identity in Christ for ourselves and our children. When we as parents are anchored in our identity in Christ, we raise children who understand their significance, find their strength in Christ, and are secure in Christ. This is how they can withstand the wind and the waves in the world and reign in life. So the next step in preparing ourselves for the transition is to embrace the help that God has ordained via the village He put us in. Hi, Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinfen.
Hi, Christy.
Hello. Hello. Hi, Christy.
Hello. Previously, we encouraged our listeners to sit at His feet and allow ourselves to be parented by Him. When we are well shepherded by our Heavenly Shepherd, we will shepherd our children well. Our hearts will be at rest. We will then parent out of rest and lead our families restfully through this major transition. So the next step in preparing ourselves for the transition is to embrace the help that God has ordained via the village He put us in. As the saying goes, it takes a village to raise a child. So who are the people in your village raising your child with you? Well, I have my family and some friends whom I hang out with. This is my village, and it's enough, right? I turn to them when I'm deep in the trenches of parenting woes and seek solace from them. They in turn offer a knowing nod, a pat on my shoulder, some parenting advice from personal experience or social media, and maybe point me to some online help. That's very helpful, isn't it? Well, parents, God has so much more in store for us concerning our village and our community. We can't wait to unpack the truth for you, so let's go. Gary and Chinfen, could you share with us about your village and what it looks like?
Sure, Christy. Maybe we just share with you our family makeup. Mm. We have 2 children, 10 and 12 now.
Mm-hmm.
While they used to require a lot of child minding, you know, they require a lot of connection time now at this age.
Yeah.
Because they really can talk.
Wow. They're growing older as well.
They have a mind of their own.
Oh.
They know
yes,
what to say.
Mind of their own.
So it's important for us to steer them in the godly direction and for them to feel loved.
Yes. Yes.
Hence, we are rather selective and dedicate a lot of time what matters to us and what will build us and our family.
Mm.
Up for now and for the longer term.
Yeah.
We invest time in people. God brings our ways who hold similar values, especially believing in the importance of God and His church in this end time.
Mm.
So we want to be reminded that life is not only meant to be lived for ourselves, but for the glory of God and the love of His people.
Hallelujah. Mm.
Since we have been great beneficiaries of that, we grew up in the youth ministry.
We're saved by ministry and by the church.
Yeah. I say amen to that.
I remember Pastor shared this in the last episode, right? The ministry saved us.
Amen.
Mm.
So we seek to be planted in His house and flourish in His courts. And that is what we want for our children to catch as well.
Mm.
Because we believe that is most key to their success in life.
Yeah.
Amen.
So what's our village like? You know, our village today and for the past 2 decades, I'm only 25, so...
Yeah, the 2 decades sounded really long.
I started at 5 years old.
You look really young, Gary.
Thank you, Pastor. So it primarily revolved around family members, church friends, and then colleagues.
Mm.
Right? We met each other in church youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Those were pivotal years in our lives where we were lost and then found.
Mm.
The friends that we have served with and grown together in ministry are still the ones intentionally, kept with today.
Mm.
Even though the group downsized over time since we graduated out of youth ministry, there are 3 groups of friends that we meet very regularly, if not every week, to fellowship with one another and our kids too, despite being across all ages, 2 to 15 years of age. One of this group is a parenting life group that we lead. The other 2 are ex-ministry friends whom we have kept in touch to celebrate all key occasions, big birthdays, even lunch after Sunday service.
Mm,
I think it's important for us. Because we are in the same season, we are able to share our challenges freely and support one another through fellowship and prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know each other, right? We can actually open up our wounds and show them. Because we feel that, you know, we will not be judged by them.
Wow.
Because these are the people that really love us.
That is so needful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. So that we don't feel that, you know, parenting is just me and her.
Mm.
Welcome to the community.
We also try to keep ourselves accountable to church leaders whom God has graced us with, yeah, so that we can stand on their shoulders to see the road ahead. Mm-hmm. Mm. These are leaders or people who take an interest in our well-being.
Amen.
Are not afraid to correct us when needed and have already gone one or two seasons ahead of us.
Oh, God bless these people.
Amen. They
speak into our lives, right?
Yep. Let me touch on what our village looked like. Not last and not least are our parents and some relatives.
Mm.
Both of us have very small families.
I see.
For us, our key family villages are our parents, whom thankfully are still alive.
Mm.
We see one another regularly up to 5 days a week.
Wow, 5 days a week. That's amazing.
We
are thankful because really we stay very close to our parents and they do take the time and effort to come over.
Wow.
And you open your home to them.
We do.
Yeah, that's amazing because I think it takes our part as well, right? To be open to them, for them to come and be in our spaces.
Yes, it's true. There's a lack of privacy, of course, but it's a choice. And we are more blessed, actually,
and
in
the
process.
And you made the choice now.
You made the choice.
We are thankful that there's favor upon us.
With your parents and your family members.
That they love to come and help us with our parenting. We believe in having our children experience the importance of kingship, even if we were not always easy because of the differences we have to work out. Our parents, right, they have their own experience.
Yes, yeah. A different style of parenting from us, right?
Yeah, there are times where there will be differences. Yes. But I think it's important to see beyond the differences and know that it's their love for us.
I can hear the intentionality. Yeah. You're very, very purposeful about building your village.
So true.
Yeah, and it feels so tight-knit. You know, like over the years, you've slowly accumulated them and you've built them up and you take the time to maintain these relationships like with your family even up to 5 days a week. How did you find time? You know, Gary and Chinfen, you are both working amazingly high-flying in your jobs, in your careers. There's barely enough time for and energy for yourselves, for each other, for your children, your family, and many other things. How were you able to maintain your community? How did you put so much time and energy into doing this?
Well, if we look at the time, all of us has the same amount of time.
So it's true.
Thanks for reminding us.
Yeah. No, but some people just look like they have more.
I think a lot comes down to our choice. What do we prioritize? Time is a result of the choice. What is important to us, right?
Wow.
I remember one of our leaders used to say this, you know, what we truly value and love, right, is seen in our bank accounts, how we use it.
Bank accounts,
and our time.
Yes.
So it's a choice.
Yes.
In the very beginning of our marriage, right, we have placed this as important in our choice making decisions, right? For us, we truly believe that we can't use time reactively.
Mm-mm. And can I just interject that we were taught to prioritize that? So hence the power of community too, because it's not something that...
So something just dawned on you.
We were taught this.
So. And we get to see this in our leader's life.
So you've been beneficiaries of it yourself.
We have.
Yes, we have.
And so you started this out on this journey.
Because we can see the fruit. Yeah, we identify with that fruits. Mm. And we see that that is what we want.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we model.
Nice. Yeah.
Of course, our lives are different.
And it came from community.
Yes.
Exactly.
All from community.
So good.
Yeah. So we first believe what is God's purpose and His success looks like, and then decide the priorities in our lives.
Mm.
And we'll make time for them, regardless of circumstances, because this is important.
Mm.
I think all of us can relate to watching Netflix.
Oh, yes.
Even though we are super tired.
Yeah.
Or gaming.
It's so hard
or
to
gaming.
Tell.
Oh, gaming.
Yes, or gaming.
Or gaming, right?
Yeah. We say that it's, you know, just a mundane activity for us to take our minds off the stresses of life. But honestly, it's just time wasting, right?
Yes. And before you know, you could spend 2-3 hours in front of Netflix. So there you go. 2-3 hours is a good time for a coffee chat.
Exactly.
So making time when there are so many demands is never easy. Right? We constantly have to ask God for the strength to work it out.
Mm.
And more importantly, wisdom to how to use time. And not to be led by how we feel on days. It's like marriage, right?
I thought it was very liberating sometimes when we hear even Pastor mention that some days he turned up in church.
Yeah.
Right? He made that decision. And so that was very liberating that we cannot go by our feelings. Yeah. We just have to go by what we have agreed as priority.
So true.
Yeah, so it's like our marriage is not based on emotion, but it's based on a decision that we will love each other.
You made a choice.
We made a choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we stay committed, not always based on how we feel, but to Him and each other because that's God's best for us.
Beautiful.
Mm.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So I think it's important to make some decision earlier in life for me, right? We talk about it even before we have kids. that at least one of us will continue serving actively no matter how.
Again, that was taught to us.
Oh, wow.
We heard some leaders mention that it can be challenging through the process, even when we didn't have kids. They open up their wounds to us.
Wow.
And they share with us about how they balance. And so then we agreed that, okay, next time when we have kids, we remind each other at least one will still be serving.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's difficult because more of us are actively serving in church prior to having kids, right?
Yeah, so that's right.
One of us will feel that, you know, why am I giving up? Why can't you be staying at home?
That's true.
Yeah. Why can't I be serving, right? So it must come to agreement that, you know, look, we are not doing for me.
Mm.
This is us. It's the family.
Wow.
So even if one of us are serving, just one of us are serving, right? It's for the family.
And I think there's a story in the Bible that talked about how the men went out to war, but the children and the wives, men who were left behind that could not, and Pastor, you could help me on this, but the men who were not actively involved, they still partook of the sports.
That's right. Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, so we decided earlier in our marriage life that this should be our priority.
Mm.
And we hold close the value of church community in our lives.
Mm. Mm.
So why is that? So, you know, in a previous episode, we talked about how we really do seek to live out His abundant life and ask God to teach us to count our days.
Mm.
So it really does become easier if we surround ourselves with people who share the same values. We truly believe that He is the vine, we are the branches.
Amen.
He that stays in me and I in Him, the same things brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. John 15.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And if you were to go towards the end, right, of John 15, it says that you did not choose me.
I chose you.
Beautiful.
Wow,
God
wow,
appointed
wow.
us.
Yes.
God chose us.
Yes.
And the ending is love one another.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh.
Loving one another. In the
community.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
John 15,
it's all
right?
coming together.
So we find ways to work around how we can participate in church and fellowship in the community as much as possible.
Mm.
And I'll give you two examples, I mean, that really comes to mind because it's about having enough time and energy, right? So I think those who know me know that I'm quite a stickler for planning and scheduling. And of course, you know, first-time parents, we spend so much time talking about sleep schedule. How many who are listening in will understand.
Like sleep deprivation schedule.
Oh yeah, but also sleep schedule for the kids, you know, to go on this three-hour cycle, making sure, because during the first 1 to 3 years of their lives, we place so much emphasis on what they eat, how they sleep, and whether they poop, right? So, yeah, I'm just speaking practically. We used to feel really challenged in terms of the schedule versus fellowship, but we recall this one instance where one of the leaders' wife, she's of the same personality, but she actually brings her kids to fellowship, late night fellowships. Mm. And she said, look, I mean, our lives do not revolve around the kids. Our lives revolve around the church.
Beautiful.
And so will our children. So with a one-year-old kid, and I'm not saying that everybody needs to do it in the same manner, but with a one-year-old kid, she was sharing me that she made that decision that because she does not want to miss out the fellowship. Because how many of us know, right? I mean, Christy, how early does your kid sleep?
7:30.
So about 7:30, 8 o'clock, we are definitely at home. We put the kids to bed. Yes, and then before you know it, you are not heading out. Maybe you can head out for a grocery run.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically you don't get
and
to
we
join.
Sleep early so that we can catch the kid when the kid wakes
it's
up
true.
At 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning.
Yes, they don't understand weekends as well. So.
Yes. They just want to get up and play.
Yes. So she shared with us that she made that decision to bring her one-year-old to fellowship, and there was this one time where they stayed past 12, but she got so much out of that fellowship that she was so encouraged.
Wow.
And when we heard that story, we said, look, Gary, I think we used to return home in the afternoons, nap time. Okay, come, let's go back because they can't really sleep properly outside.
The kids must
they can't sleep properly outside. Yes.
So we bring them home to nap and then we'll come out again, or at nighttime, we are very diligent about the time we sleep. Yeah. We're not saying that we don't do that, but we make exceptions.
Beautiful.
Exceptions. For church fellowship, for parenting life groups, we make exceptions. So a couple of Saturdays, for example, in a month, we prepare ourselves and say, okay, tomorrow night we're going to stay out late. Then let's let them sleep earlier the next day. And we talk to our children about this as well. So yeah, I just wanted to call that out, that that was one of the ways that we manage. And our kids turn out just fine. I mean, even till now at 10 and 12, they keep to a pretty strict bedtime schedule of 9:30.
On a normal day, on an average day.
Normal day, yes.
But
yes.
There will be exceptions.
Yes, that's
where
right.
Where they flow with you.
Exactly.
And not the other way around.
Right? That's right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And actually, this reminds me of how my life group leader challenged me, you know, to really just trust God. Because who is this God that we believe in, right? Yeah. That if I bring my child to a late night fellowship and he doesn't come through, it doesn't work. God will come through for us, and God will not shortchange us. God will not cause our child to have a sleepless night or be cranky, you know, when we spend time in His house.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, so then when I believed in it, my kid just slept so well through the night.
Yes. Wow.
And woke up just fine the next day, and we still went to church. It's like, wow, actually God really does bless when we take that
care
of faith.
Yes, amen. Yes. And He knows the desires in our heart. And I also remember that there were many seasons in our lives where we were deliberate about praying for fellowship and community. So when we first had our kid, there were not that many friends who were having kids around our same age as well, the age of our children. And we took time to just ask God and say, we only just need a few. Please bring friends that have favor with us and also with our children.
So
and that He developed the friendship over time. So, you know, it's just about taking that step out, I believe, in our hearts.
So again, as Christy says, intentionality is something that you focused on, right?
I thought I want to chip in on this part as well, especially for the men, you know, when it comes to building relationship. I think that for men, maybe I can speak for myself. It's
there we go again. Men.
Men. You know, we tend to be like more laid back. No, I don't want to meet up. I don't want to open up my wounds and then share with the other guys. You know, how would they look at me?
It's not cool, man.
It's not cool, right?
Come on.
We want to be cool, right? But it's so important. You know, I'm not saying that it's natural. It's not. Sometimes it's not natural for men to want to gather. But I think it's important for men especially because my wife always tells me, for women, it's very easy. One call away and then they can share everything.
Yeah.
And guys, we don't. We don't, you know, we can just sit one corner and then just days. Yeah. You know?
Rude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage the men, be intentional. It's for our own good.
Beautiful.
That we build the community, especially for men.
Thanks for speaking into that, Gary. You know, Chen Fen, after hearing what you shared, right, I just feel so challenged to push the bedtime boundaries with my kid for church activities now. And honestly, can I say that this is really one benefit of having a village, of being in a community, right?
Yeah.
Like getting stirred up in holy jealousy to trust God for the same.
Amen.
Because He is the same God.
Amen.
Right? Like if He can come through for you, I think you pointed this out earlier. If He can come through for you, He can do the same for me too. Like where I don't have faith, where I lack the faith, I see your faith. I see Him coming through for you.
Wow.
And I get encouraged to rise up.
And believe God for the same.
Yes,
and even much more.
Same.
Yes. Amen.
Right. So how about you, Pastor? I think we are all very interested to know what kind of community you had when your children were going through primary one transition.
Wow. Gary and Chin Fen just stirred me up into some holy jealousy right there.
Right.
I am so envious of you because it was a little different when we started out, you know. Thanks for allowing yourself to be led by your leaders, for allowing people to speak into your lives, for wanting to do this, for wanting to make changes, for wanting to step out of the boundaries sometimes because you value this thing called community fellowship and serving it most of all. You know what I mean? So thanks for doing that. I think that needs to be called out. That is so special. So for me, it's a little different. The idea of community was not so entrenched. And our children were much younger. Church at that time, we're talking about the church that I'm still in today, New Christian Church, was much smaller. And contrary to the fact that we should have naturally drawn closer together because we are smaller, it didn't happen that way. We didn't have many of the closely bonded friendships and relationships as compared to what I see today. Perhaps it was a time back then that we tended to be a little more private in our lives, perhaps. And I don't know the reasons, but that was how it was. People are different now and perhaps they are bolder, more empowered to reach out for help than before because perhaps they tended to have more shared experiences and through the years they've made more connections. And with the wider connection pool, the wanting to connect to other people increases and the church grew. So at that time, we had care groups for adults but no parenting life groups where we can involve the children then. Looking back, interestingly, the care groups back then, it's only for adults. Leave your kids at home. That was what it was before many years ago. And looking back, my wife, Rachel, and I would have loved to have been part of a deeper and stronger community. We could have reached out to this community if we needed help with our children when we wanted to go out for a couple dates. Just needed somebody's help with our with parenting tips. Instead, we turned to our parents. But having had children later in our lives, you know, we took some time before we had our kids. Our own parents were also older, and sometimes they couldn't quite manage our active and vibrant toddlers. Sometimes they'll say, "It's okay, today don't bring, eh?" I wish we had a community where you can say, "Hey, hello, can you take over my kids?" Okay. But the good thing that came out of all of this was then we tended to lean on the Lord Jesus a little bit more when we were troubled. And I believe it grew us in our faith.
Mm.
We also leaned in on each other more. And as a couple, we even were more determined in our resolve to make the marriage relationship work.
Mm. Yeah. So
because there's only two of us, right? There's nobody else to rely on. However, it would have been wonderful, and I say this with all my heart, if we had the benefit of fellow believers and friends who could have encouraged us by just saying to us that they encountered the same issues we encountered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that we were not the only ones in this universe, that's how we thought.
That's
we
so true.
That were going through these same issues. Just to hear that voice of validation coming from our community. But and that's what it's all about, which we didn't have.
I realized that so much of parenting feels like we are very alone in our journey. Yeah, like, you know, through the motherhood, through the breastfeeding journey, through just all the different challenges. People talk about it, yes, but we feel like our situations and our issues, the challenges that we face are unique to us and our family alone.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head,
right?
Christine.
But when we are in community, we realize that actually it's the same.
Yeah.
Everyone else is going through the same journey. Everyone else is experiencing the same of some sorts, you know, and we get to encourage one another.
Yes.
We get to build one another up. Yeah. And you know, my husband and I, we still tend towards a very private life, but we are ever so thankful that we are part of a community that looks out for us and reaches out to check on us through every stage of life, even in the seasons where we've disconnected ourselves because we are so caught up and we are so overwhelmed, but the community reached out
to us.
You know, and come to think of it, if it wasn't for serving in the youth ministry years back, just like Chin Fen and Gary experienced, where I found myself amid a godly community that God had gathered around me, I think I would really have been very satisfied with just a very small circle of my family and friends that I already had from my schooling days and workplaces. Community takes a lot of time and effort to maintain. But as a parent, working or not, even as a stay-home parent, these two commodities are in extremely limited supply, but highly sought after.
Yes.
Why should we prioritize community for ourselves, especially in the light of our topic on restfully preparing for primary one?
Let me try to shed some light on this with some biblical perspectives so that we know that this time and effort that you are spending to build up this community is going to be really worth it. Both not only for the parents, but also for the children. So I've got 2 points. First, community is God's idea.
Amen.
Interestingly, the word koinonia is a Greek word and there's no exact translation into English for that. Joseph Henry Thayer, he wrote the Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament. He defines koinonia as fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation. Its origin is in the Greek word koinonos, which means to partner with, to share with, and to be companion to. In short, one apt description of this is, it is a shared community that involves deep, close-knit participation among its people. Interestingly, the word koinonia appears 20 times in 18 verses in the New Testament. Hence, it must have been important in the first church, which started in the days of the Acts of the Apostles. Acts 2, verse 42-47, it says here, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, one, in fellowship, two. The word fellowship there is koinonia in the Greek. In the breaking of bread, three, and in prayers, four. What happened? Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and all had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple. I love it. They love to spend time in the temple. Community, because that's how Jewish synagogues are. Jewish synagogues are community places. Amazing. breaking bread from house to house. Again, community. They ate bread with gladness and simplicity of heart. Look at the result.
Yeah.
They were happy. Simplicity of heart. Praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. I really believe that when you're in a community, God will add to that church. Because this is what makes going to church fun, dynamic, and the purpose of going to church is amazing. It is interesting to note that the first church was a dynamic and vital community founded on four pillars, one of which was fellowship. Their strength came in and through their gathering, which emboldened them, gave their faith in the Lord and Jesus both purpose and fulfillment. The community witnessed many miracles. I just read scripture, right?
Yes.
They learned to share. Wow. They did not lack. And somebody said, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Each one's needs were met. They found safety and security in their fellowship and their numbers grew. Wow. Second, let me bring this to a close here. Koinonia has the idea of sharing. The Apostle Paul mentions this twice, once in the book of Philemon, chapter 1, verse 6, and second time in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. I'm sorry, I'm just sharing the biblical portion of this because this is
Don't
God's
be sorry,
idea.
Pastor. Yes, it's important that we know.
Thank you. God's idea is community and it's in the scriptures in more than one place in the Bible. And it shares that sharing is caring. It acknowledges that good things that God is working in us, meaning that it yields good testimony. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6 says that the sharing of your faith, koinonia, may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So if God puts good things in you, God wants you to share it.
Wow.
Philemon chapter 1 verse 6, Paul said. Hebrews 13 verse 16, another one. But do not forget to do good and to share koinonia.
Wow.
For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I think this is important. God loves it when you receive something, you're blessed to be a blessing.
Amen.
You need to pour it out on somebody else.
Amen.
And you just can't keep it within yourself. Hence, Gary Chinfen, you had leaders that were pouring out into your lives.
That's right. Yeah.
They were doing what scriptures were telling them to do, to go out there in the community and to pour it into somebody's life. So it'll make a difference in somebody's life so that somebody can say, God was so good to me. Jesus Christ is alive in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm doing this again for you because I need to pass this forward.
Yes.
Amen. That's so good, right? Pastor. Yeah.
Third, in this community, there seemed to be no division or separation between the young and the old, relatives and friends.
Mm.
Interestingly, this community is a mixture of all kinds. It involved many people. They bonded together because of their common belief and common faith with one purpose, and this purpose was to impart and impact and encourage and uplift, loving one another.
Mm.
This resulted in a very natural process of gleaning and learning between the young and the older.
Well, I love this part about the natural process of gleaning and learning between the young and the older. I kind of saw it in also the story of feeding the 5,000.
Wow.
Right? When Jesus was feeding 5,000, it was a little boy who brought the five loaves and two fishes.
True.
What were the rest of the adults doing with the food that they had?
Keeping for themselves?
They're waiting to be served.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, as an adult, you would think like, perhaps I might not have enough and therefore I don't dare to share.
Wow.
And that's to do with serving as well, right? Like we always think we don't have enough and we don't have what it takes to share. But in this place, right, it's about the younger and the older, you know, like whoever, old relatives, just everybody can come together and everybody can share. And the little boy shared what little he had.
That's right.
And Jesus multiplied it.
That's right.
And everyone got to benefit from it.
That's
Even the disciples who knew Jesus, they received 12 baskets full left over.
Interesting. The
blessing
impacted the community.
Yes.
Right.
And it was a little boy.
And it was a little boy who brought it.
Yes.
I mean, we should not despise our little boys, right? And our little girls.
Yes.
As Paul says to Timothy, let no one despise your youth.
Yes.
Very good. So the young can teach the old.
Yes.
And the old can minister to the young.
You don't need to be a leader.
You don't need to be a leader. Thank you for saying that, Christy. The first point, as I said, was community is God's idea. Second point. It's about Jesus himself believed in community growing up and was himself part of a community of believers. So not only did he shared it in the scriptures, he was part of a community growing up. And I would love to share the story from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. I was simply amazed to see a community in action and the reaction of his natural parents. It starts in verse 41. It says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So this is a story of Jesus at 12 years old. Let me summarize it. He was brought and his parents went to Jerusalem. Like all good Torah-fulfilled Jews, they went three times a year. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And you know that this is true because the parents were always doing all the things that were rightfully Jewish. Because at the age of the baby was just born, the baby Jesus was brought to the temple where Simeon and Hannah spoke into the child's life. This is the baby dedication. Mm-hmm. So they did everything that was naturally Jewish to do. And you can understand it. The Bible says they went every year to Jerusalem. Interesting. So they were people that were doing this on a regular basis. And if you ever at that point in time were in Jerusalem, you can imagine the mess. All the Jews from all the cities around Israel will come to Jerusalem. You can imagine the chaos. Painting a picture here. Just imagine the multitudes of people that be coming to Jerusalem.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're bringing offerings. Mm. And in comes the lamb and the sheep and the children and the and the akong and the ama and everybody else and the grandparents and the relatives and the acquaintances. And they came in and they gathered in Jerusalem. And they did this yearly. They followed Jewish traditions. They traveled with their relatives and acquaintances. They trusted that there'd be security found in these communities. And I think this is important for parenting. This is parenting with the help.
Yes.
You know what I'm trying to say? Here is you bring Jesus, but there's a whole lot of other people that could look after your children, right? And that's what we want, right?
Yeah.
They trusted the community so much. The Bible says he was there in the temple. He was just moved to being in the temple.
Mm.
And he was there sitting among the teachers and not only listening to them and hearing them out.
Mm.
And he was asking questions. And the parents decided, after everything is done, let's go back to our place in Nazareth. They go back one day later. They say, hey, where's Jesus? Huh? I mean, if I was a parent back then,
it
was an afterthought. Because they thought he was already safe with the community. One day later, if 2 minutes I bring my child to the mall and the person, his little boy is distracted, I'll be like, he'll be wailing and I'll be like, where's my boy? Where's my boy? That's 2 minutes. This is one day later. Can you imagine the comfort that they had?
Yeah.
The security that they had going forward.
Mm.
And then they checked with their relatives and acquaintances. Hey, where's Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? And they said, oh no, we didn't see. And then they doubled back one day's journey back to Jerusalem. And then they searched for him for 3 days.
Wow.
That's a whole 4 days that they didn't see their boy. And you can imagine the anxiety they had.
But they lost Jesus, the Son of God.
Exactly. This is their special son. And Mary had this visitation from the angel for this special boy. And it's amazing. The Bible says they trusted the community so much that they didn't realize Jesus was missing from their company for a whole day. And they only found him 3 days later. Jesus himself not anxious about being lost. Amazing.
Mm.
I had this question. Who fed him in the 3 days? The community? Perhaps.
Mm.
Bible doesn't say, right?
Yes.
This boy was all alone in Jerusalem.
No, but isn't it amazing that Jesus wasn't anxious at all either? As a little boy?
Correct.
Yeah.
And where was he found? He was found in the temple.
So he himself felt the security
correct.
In the temple.
He found the security in the community and in the temple.
Yes.
Where all his needs, daily basic needs were taken care of.
Amen. Amazing.
Naturally.
Amazing.
Naturally. Yeah, let's put aside the fact that he's the Son of God.
Yes.
He is a child. He's a 12-year-old boy. Yeah. Like, you have a 12-year-old as well in your house.
Yes.
So Jesus at 12 loved to linger in the temple. That should tell us something about our own children.
Mm.
I hear this constantly from parents. The children want to go to church.
Mm.
And sometimes the parents say, yeah, too tired today. Yeah. I'm not talking about anybody on our podcast as well. You know what I'm trying to say? Talking about myself. Yeah. The pastor needs to go to church. You know what I mean? Because the pastor, okay, now I'm moving right along. Having said that, the children want to go to church. They want to stay because that's what it says here.
Mm-hmm.
He was interacting with the much older teachers in Jerusalem. He was listening, asking questions. Our children can learn from those who are older than them. Is that right? That's what I learned from this passage. In fact, younger children love to glean from their older friends.
Mm.
I see this in my own kids as they're growing up. they didn't want to play amongst their own age group. Yes. They looked for someone older, an older brother, an older sister, an older friend. They always seem to be more excited with this.
Yes.
Interesting. It's naturally ingrained into our biology, you know. That's exactly what happens at our parents' life groups.
Mm.
Right? The older were astonished by Jesus at his understanding and answers. This reminds me of my own children asking me some profound questions, or me gleaning gems of truth, or watching my children's favorite Christian videos. I don't know whether you've been there. I've been there so many times.
Mm.
But they ask me because it's, hey, Dad, why did David need 5 stones when he met Goliath? It's only one giant, what? Okay. This sparked my curiosity. I'm listening to my child asking a question and, hey, yeah, why?
Yeah.
Oh, Dad, why did God make Zacchaeus so short and so small? Is it because he's like me? And you ask, oh, wow. This man is short in stature, but he was big in heart.
Mm. Yeah.
You learn so many things just by going to the scriptures. Because he was touched by grace.
Yes.
We will say weird questions, but they're not so
God-led
weird.
Questions. Yes. Yeah, godly questions. Even the 5 stones, right? The number
even the
of
5 stones.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And these are godly questions which we can learn from our young ones, right?
Yeah.
And that's what our kids learn from the older ones. So having said that, interaction with the young and the old, we glean from the older, they're instrumental in helping us. I just love this picture. John was the youngest of disciples. And Peter was the oldest. Mm. Some of you may not know that, but if you read Bible tradition, it is. Peter must have learned a whole lot about loving from John, the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Wow.
He would have seen the interaction between Jesus and John at the Last Supper. He says, hey, can you ask him who's the betrayer? You find this story in John 13. He just knew that this person had so much love, he could have gleaned something from this.
Mm.
While John himself would have learned a lot from Peter's natural leadership skills.
Mm.
This is what happens when you put each other in community.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
And especially when he stepped onto the water and he walked on water. Can you imagine what he would have picked up, the leadership he would have picked up? But you don't have that when you're all stuck by yourself.
Yes.
You do your own thing. We do our own thing, but we don't share others.
Yeah.
You don't. But community is about sharing, about participation,
yep.
right?
Yes.
And again, before I just end here, it says here, much later, Jesus gathered 12 totally different people of different life stages.
Mm.
Hmm.
Different temperaments, different ages. What do you do to do community with 12 disciples that spent 3.5 years with him, which he imparted to them, shared with them? They must have learned to live with each other and adjust to each other's idiosyncrasies and differences.
Yeah.
In order to take the gospel to the four corners of the earth.
Mm.
So do I believe in the fellowship of community? Yeah. 100%. This fellowship and community will build your character.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
And in this community, the Bible says, he also had his 3 disciples. And when he was most overwhelmed at the Garden of Gethsemane, he leaned on his 3 disciples, Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Would you stay here and watch with me?
Yeah,
that's his community.
Yes.
We need a community for our down moments. So do our children. When they see their own parents connecting, they'll want to connect.
Yes.
Mm. Parents, as we close off the first segment of this episode, let's mull over what Pastor Matthews shared about community. Who are the people in our community? How has the Lord brought them into our lives to love on us and vice versa? Next up, Pastor Matthews, Gary and Chinpin will continue sharing about what makes the concentric rings of our community and how these rings can help us through the primary school transition. Be sure to join us in the next segment. Till then, be greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.